السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله، Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the blessed month of Ramadan. And all of us to some degree or other, we witnessed some improvement in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. That is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not something to be taken for granted. That it happens every Ramadan. There are many people out there, many people who have iman as well, but the month of Ramadan comes and no change comes in their life. There are people out there that the month of Ramadan comes and they don't get the tawfiq to fast. I'm not saying that we should look down on such people. What I am saying is that it is not for granted, that it should not be taken for granted that the month of Ramadan comes, so definitely an improvement will come in my life. No. If the month of Ramadan comes and an improvement comes in our life, it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, we witnessed that to some degree or other. And now the challenge is to use that as a springboard to bring permanent change in our life. Every Ramadan comes. Ramadan comes once a year. 30 days, 29 days. And if a person uses Ramadan to bring an improvement in his life from a deeni point of view, when it comes to Ramadan, there are two mentalities. One mentality, a very large group of people, the mentality is that Ramadan has come, so we are going to spend Ramadan well to some degree or other. And after Ramadan, we will be exactly like we were before Ramadan. Such a person has not understood the purpose of Ramadan. The purpose of Ramadan is that if there is some error, some fault, whatever faults there are in a person's life, they are removed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran himself, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you gain taqwa, you gain the ability to stay away from the disobedience of Allah. So the person who has really understood the purpose of Ramadan, when Ramadan comes, his mentality would be that Ramadan's come. I haven't really spent my life as I should have before the month of Ramadan. You know, so I know that I was supposed to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala, but I was weak in doing them. Sometimes I would perform salah, sometimes I would miss it. Or sometimes I would manage to make it to the masjid, and sometimes even though I had the opportunity, I would miss it. Sometimes I would be able to stay away from misusing my ears, misusing my eyes, misusing my tongue. Sometimes I would say, so let me use Ramadan to get back on track. And if a person does it seriously, and after Ramadan he continues this, he uses it as a first step, then every single Ramadan, inshallah, improvement will come in his life. And by the time he passes away, he will be someone who will be fully practiced and he will go directly to Jannah. So now the discussion that we are going to have today is that how does a person make sure that what the benefit he has gained from the month of Ramadan, he is able to prolong it. He is able to make it a long-term benefit instead of just a short-term boost. Instead of just a short-term spike on the graph and then the graph goes back to the same level. So for that, we first need to understand why an improvement happened in the month of Ramadan. Why is it the case that something we were unable to do outside the month of Ramadan, or something we didn't feel like doing? Outside the month of Ramadan, I didn't feel like opening the Quran. One off maybe. In the month of Ramadan, I felt like doing it every day. Outside the month of Ramadan, I didn't really feel like performing salah. In the month of Ramadan, not only did I feel like performing salah, I managed to read 20 rakats extra every day as well, along with many other sunnah. So why has that change taken place? What is so special about Ramadan that the moon is sighted and suddenly I get the tawfiq to do more? If we understand this, then we will be able to understand how to benefit after the month of Ramadan as well. What happens in the month of Ramadan is that Ramadan is a source of spiritual nur. It's a source of spiritual light. It's, you can say, a season, just like in hot, we don't know, here we have rainfall 24/7 all year round. But in many hot countries, rainfall happens in a specific season. And in that season, it absolutely pours it down. Sometimes it floods as well. And then the rest of the year, no rain. So Ramadan is, you can say, the monsoon season for nur, for spiritual mercy. And if I give you a very simple example, you'll understand. An example of physical light, this nur, spiritual nur, is something which we cannot see, but it definitely exists. But it, in some ways, it behaves the same as physical light. What do I mean? Let me give you a very simple example. If I want to get from here to the door, I want to get from here outside, and it is pitch black. It is pitch black. Then I need some light to navigate my way. So one method is that I have some form of light in my pocket. I have a torch, I take it out, I turn it on. I have my phone. I have a match or something. I have a candle. This is my own light. This is one method. If I do this, then I will be able to see the way. And another method is that I wait for the sun to rise. It is night time, so it's pitch black. I wait for the sun to rise. When the sun rises, then the sun illuminates everything. And I will be able to find my way very easy. In fact, I will be able to find my way to the door easier than if I had turned my torch on. Such is the brightness of the sun. So in Ramadan, the sun of spiritual noon rises. When it rises, then it illuminates everything. So our hearts, which have turned black because of the disobedience of Allah, which are void of nur, they are weak. Every Muslim has nur in his heart. Iman. When iman comes into his heart, then spiritual nur enters his heart as well. Every Muslim has the spiritual nur in his heart to some degree or other. But for some people that is weak. For some people it is a small flame on a matchstick. And for some people whose spiritual nur is strong, it is a very powerful thought. So, in the same way, the sun rose in Ramadan, and it illuminated all of our hearts, and we felt the effect of that spiritual nur, that we were able to do amal with so much more ease. Many people who perform other than the person has some. A weakness, he finds it difficult to pray salah standing, then he should consult an alim, but he has some permission to sit to perform salah sitting down. And when that is the case, then a person, if he can perform the first standing up and then he performs the rest of the salah sitting down, that is better, because the first holds special importance. But there are some people who, outside the month of Ramadan, they genuinely, other than the first, they struggle to perform salah standing up. And genuine reason. We're not talking about fraudsters. But in the month of Ramadan, they find that too, that despite that, the body is the same. But to so many rakats of nafal of sunnah, they're able to perform standing. Many of them perform the whole 20 rakats of tarawih standing as well. And if you ask them, that, you know, how are you able to do it? They will say, I don't know. I just feel able to do it in the month of Ramadan. And after the month of Ramadan, back to the chair. And they're genuinely in need of it. Why? The spiritual nur has this effect. Now, in Ramadan, the sun of spiritual nur, it rises. It illuminates everything. And the same applies for example, when we go to the Haram al-Sharif and we go to Makkah, Mukarramah, to Medina, Munawwara. Very, very blessed places, full of spiritual nur. When we go there, the same thing happens. The same thing happens. That's why we feel like doing so much amal there. People who are barely seen in the local masjid, when they go to Makkah, Mukarramah, every salah they perform with jama'ah. And in your local masjid, if you want to perform salah with jama'ah, you check the time and you can make it last minute and you didn't make it. In Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, you cannot, usually you cannot enter last minute. You have to enter 10 minutes, 5 minutes in advance, 10 minutes in advance, sometimes 15 minutes in advance, but still they make it. And to a lesser degree, every masjid has some form of nur. That is why we feel more inclined to amal in our masjid than we do at home. So, the month of Ramadan is gone. We cannot bring it back for another 11 months. But what we can do is we can look around for other sources of nur, for other sources of spiritual nur. They may not be as strong as the month of Ramadan, but they are definitely sources of nur. The sun has risen, it has gone down. Now I will look, do I have a torch in my pocket? Do I have my phone in my pocket? Can I get a candle from somewhere? Any other source of spiritual nur. And if a person, what is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal for you and I and for every Muslim is that he works on himself. He makes effort on himself. And eventually he reaches the stage where he's in his own heart, he has a spiritual nur. He has a fire of spiritual nur burning. He's not dependent on any other source of nur anymore. He's not dependent upon the month of Ramadan to practice. Yes, the month of Ramadan will aid him. But he's not dependent on it. He's fully practicing outside the month of Ramadan. He's not dependent on the masjid as well. If for whatever reason he is unable to make it to the masjid for salah, he is unwell for a month. He's fully practicing despite being away from the masjid. And if a person works on himself slowly but surely, he benefits from the sources of nur, then this happens. That inside a person's heart, his heart becomes full of nur. And then he doesn't need any other source of nur. In fact, the pious people of the past worked on themselves so much that the nur within the heart became so strong that other people would benefit from it as well. And in fact, that brings us on to something else, which through within this discussion, we have already mentioned many sources of nur that are available outside the month of Ramadan. For example, one is our local masjid. Every single masjid is the daughter of Masjidul Haram and Ka'batullah. Ka'batullah is the main masjid. It is the main masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding Ka'batullah that it is mubarakah wa hudan lil alamin. It is very blessed and it is a means of guidance for the whole world. It is a means of guidance for the whole world. What does that mean? Amongst many other things, that means it is a place where there is so much nur. And you feel it when you go there as well. So it is a guidance for the whole world. Every single masjid has a connection with Ka'batullah. So every single masjid has a portion of that nur. Like we said, not to the same degree. The child is not as strong as the adult. But every single masjid definitely has some nur. So, one thing we can do outside the month of Ramadan is make it a point to spend time in the masjid. And the first part of that is we perform our 5 times for salah with jama'ah, wherever possible, other than work commitments, school, college commitments. Where we are available, we perform our 5 times for salah with jama'ah. This is the first thing. The second thing we should do is that other than the 5 times for salah, we should allocate some time, if not on a daily basis, then on a weekly basis. Choose either Saturday or Sunday, depending on which one you are less busy, and choose a slot. Maybe after Dhuhr or after Asr, after Maghrib. where you will spend some extra time in the masjid. What will you do in the masjid? Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite the Quran, dhikr, tasbih, dua, whatever ibadah, but you will spend time in the masjid. There are so many benefits of spending time in the masjid. A very great tabi'i, the name escapes my memory, he used to say that the sign of a munafiq is that he doesn't feel like staying in the masjid. His heart doesn't feel like staying in the masjid. It's like a fish out of water. Or better example, it's like a bird in a cage. He can't wait to get out. And the sign of a true mu'min is that he feels like staying in the masjid. To him, the masjid is water, just like the fish. It outside the water, it wants to get back in the water. So the mu'min, the true mu'min, this is his condition. So if we don't have this condition, because we've gone far away from the masjid. If we have a connection with the masjid, it is a necessity only. Necessity only, we need to come for salah, so we come. Other than that, the quicker we are out, the better. And even when we come in the masjid, physically we are in the masjid, mentally we are already outside the masjid. What am I going to do after salah? After salah, I need to go here, I need to go to this place, I need to go to that place. Those people who have a connection with the masjid, when they are outside the masjid, their minds are still thinking about the masjid. When is the next time for salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about such people in the Quran that في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. In such houses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that they are raised, they are made, and Allah ta'ala is remembered in the meaning the masajid. يسبح له فيها بالغدو والعصال رجال. They are such people who remember Allah ta'ala morning and evening. The morning and evening means a lot of time in the day. Morning and evening, the two ends of the day. Meaning the whole, wherever they have a chance, they go to the masjid, five times salah. And when they're outside the masjid, what is the condition? So no person can stay in the masjid 24/7. Yes, sometimes a person takes time out for itikaf, that is a different matter. Otherwise, on a daily basis, no person, not even the imam himself, can stay in the masjid 24/7. Everyone has their necessities. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about such people that when they are going about the necessities, they are in the marketplace, they are buying, selling, they are trading, but لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. So they go to the masjid, and when they are outside the masjid, buying, selling, and any other worldly necessities, it doesn't distract them. It doesn't make them negligent of the remembrance of Allah, of performing salah, of giving zakah, of the commands of Allah. Meaning the heart is still connected there. Out of the people who will be in the shade of the throne on the day of judgment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that one person is the one who qalbuhu mu'allaqun bil masajid, his heart is attached to the masjid. His heart is attached to the masjid, meaning when he's left the masjid for a necessity, he still feels like going back. So I was saying the first thing we need to do is the five times salah. That is one thing. The second thing we need to do is other than the five times salah, and start with 5 minutes. After, on the weekend, I will take one salah. If a person can start with 10, 20 minutes, even better. But after weekend, one salah. And alhamdulillah, our masjid, there is arrangements that if a person wants to stay for some amount of time, he is able to do. After one salah, I will stay 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And initially, you will always have that feeling, because it's a very ingrained habit. I perform my sunnahs and then I'm out of the door. It's a habit that's been in there for 10 years, maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years, maybe more. So the person needs to force himself to initiate. No. After this salah, I will spend 10 minutes in the masjid. And when that becomes habit, then inshallah he will feel like staying in the masjid. But stay in the masjid and engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, shaitan never stops working on a person. So first effort of shaitan, this person doesn't come for salah. That's effort number one. A person comes for salah. Effort number two, amongst many other efforts, he will make it possible that this person, he stays as less time as possible in the masjid. Let your person overcomes that hurdle. And he makes it, no, at least once a week I will spend some time in the masjid. Now shaitan thinks that, okay, he's decided to spend his time in the masjid. I can't change his mind. Now, let me make sure he doesn't spend his time well in the masjid. So shaitan will make him find a friend. And 10, 20 minutes will go on before he realizes that he hasn't remembered Allah for a moment in that 10 minutes he was in the masjid. No, come in the masjid and spend time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outside the masjid, all of our time is spent with Muhammad, with Adam, with Ahmad. Brothers, come in the masjid and spend time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Recite the Quran, perform nafal salah, make dua to Allah ta'ala. Think about your deen life. Anything that is connected to deen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third method of spending time in the masjid is what we are doing now. Those gatherings, those programs which take place in the masjid. Whether it is ta'lim at the bar, whether it is a talk happening from the minbar, whether it is an alim or non-alim delivering the talk. Just take out some time and spend time in those. That brings us on to the next point. The first point is to benefit from good places. And I will say on that note, stay away from evil places. Stay away from the places where the disobedience of Allah takes place. And with that, connected to that, is stay in the company of good people and stay away from the company of bad people. People who are pious, who are good people, their hearts have nur inside. When you go into the company, it touches your heart as well. And people whose hearts, who are irreligious, their hearts are full of darkness. When you go into their company, the darkness touches your heart as well. It would not be incorrect to say that this maybe is the number one reason we struggle to practice upon deen. Because number one, in our time, it is difficult to find the people who are to some degree or other practicing are far few in number, and the people who are not practicing are many in number. And number two, we don't make it a point to be careful who we associate with. Yes, there are some places where we are not in control. We have to go to work. Who is in the workplace? Who is next to us? Who is on our right and our left is not in our control. We have to go to the marketplace. We have to sit on the bus. Who is not control. But other than that, who we associate with in our own time, who are our friends, who we spend time with voluntarily, this is within our control. This is within our control. So, we should find good company. When it comes to our friend circle as well, find good company. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us enough intellect that we understand that this person, you know what, no one's perfect. I'm not asking you to go find the angel and make him your friend. But every person understands that this person, he is someone who is practicing, who has worry for deen. He encourages me to perform my salah. If I talk to him about deen, he is happy. And every person understands that this person is not so religious. But sometimes what happens is there is a person who is not so religious, and in the back of our mind, we know that is the case. But at the same time, for some reason or other, we enjoy his company. So because we enjoy his company, we are reluctant to separate from him. Well, let's not harm our deen like that. Find those people who are good. And if a person can't find those people who are good, he's in a place where if a person wants to find good people to associate with, he will sin. But if a person doesn't, then staying alone is better. Bad company is like a poison. Bad company is like a poison. If a person can't find good company is like medicine, it's like beneficial food. If you don't find beneficial food, then you at least stay away from poison. So stay away from good people, and avoid people who are idiots, and go into the company, adopt the company of good people. And we have already mentioned that spend time in the masjid. One benefit of spending time in the masjid is that in general, good people they are in the masjid. People who are religious worry. So when you come to the masjid, you actually gain two benefits. One benefit is the environment of the masjid, and the second benefit is the company of good people. And sometimes in the masjid, there is someone who is very pious. We don't know every person's heart. We just look at people. But sometimes, a lot of the time, in every masjid or so, there are one or two people who are very, very pious. And just by sitting in the masjid, we are benefiting from the company. So Number one, let us adopt a good company, good environment, and let us stay away from bad company and bad environments. I will end with one incident in the hadith which tells us the importance of this. Once the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they were traveling, and they passed by Hajar, a place called Hajar. And Hajar is the town where the people of Thamud used to reside. The people of Thamud, who the Messenger Salih alayhi salam was sent to. They used to reside. And the incident is mentioned in the Quran. We are not going to go into the detail. They didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were disobedient to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala sent the Messenger Salih alayhi salam. And Salih alayhi salam, he invited them to Allah. Majority of them didn't accept it. And then a punishment came on them and they were destroyed. So this was long before the Sahaba radiallahu anhu's time. So when they passed by, then it was just ruins. It was just ruins. Now, we are not in the era of cars, motorways and hotels. Time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If you find some ruins as well to shelter in, it's a good stop. Something to shade you from the sun. In that afternoon. So they used to look for such places. But when Nabi Sallallahu, when they passed by this place, now right now this place is empty. But many years ago, in fact thousands of years ago, disobedient people occupied this place. And they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This happened thousands of years before the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were passing this place. But they are passing the place thousands of years later, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells them, that لَا تَدْخُلُوا دِيَارَ ثَمُودِ, don't enter the houses, don't enter these ruins. Avoid this, we'll find shelter later on. Yes, there is one reason you can enter. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونُوا بَاكِ, except if you are in the state of crying, you can enter. So the muhaddithin, they have said this means that you can enter for one reason only. And that one reason is you to enter, to take a lesson from what happened to these people. So that you look on the ruins of the houses and you think, they were so strong in the time and look, there is nothing left of them. If for that beneficial purpose you can enter, otherwise don't enter this place. Because why? This is a place where the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala happened in abundance. And as a result, Allah Ta'ala's punishment, His anger came down. And even though it happened many thousands of years ago, if you enter that place unnecessarily, it will affect you. A very great Alim Hazrat Mawlana Idris Qandalwi Sahib Rahmatullahi, who has written a very famous book on Sirah, Siratul Mustafa, it is translated into English language as well. He says that the anger of Allah Ta'ala, the disobedience of Allah, this is like germs in the air. It's like germs in the air. If a person goes to that place in the company of those people where the disobedience of Allah is taking place, it's like there's germs in the air and they will poison a person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that avoid that place. And there was a well there. And it so happened that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had warned them, or maybe some of them who had not heard the warning, they used some water from this well. And what did they use it? They used it to, whilst they were preparing some dough. Now Islam, our deen is very precautious in telling us not to waste anything. Our deen is very, very precautious in this matter. Unfortunately, in our time, we don't hold this in regard at all. That's a separate topic altogether, but let me just give you one example so that you understand this incident. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that if you are making wudu by a running stream, still make sure you don't use more water than necessary. Now, a running stream is a place where the water is not going to finish. It doesn't matter if you use 1 liter or 10 liters of water. And the water is free, you don't pay a penny for it. It's not like the water meter is there and your bill is going to go. But Nabi Sallam, the mentality of our deen is, you don't use anything unnecessarily, you don't waste anything. That is how precautious our deen teaches us, is with regards to it. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and especially so in food. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they use some of the water in this dough from this well which was in that area. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he found that, he told them that throw away that dough. Why? Because you have used water from in that door, from a place where the disobedience of Allah happened in abundance, the anger of Allah came down, that eating that food will have a harmful effect on you. So in our time where the disobedience of Allah is taking place live, live being at that time, there are people, there still people still, then how careful do we need to be? So this is one thing that, in fact, this is one of the most important things. If we stay, adopt good company, good environment, stay away from evil company, evil environments, then inshallah, this will, number one, it will very go a very long way to make ensure that the nur which we gained in the month of Ramadan will stay. And secondly, the nur will increase, it will strengthen. I will end with the statement of Luqman Hakim rahmatullahi. Luqman Hakim rahmatullahi, he once advising his son, he told his son that, Ya bunayya, oh my beloved son, jalis al ulama, sit with the ulama, wa sahib al hukama, and sit with the, and adopt the company of the wise people. Now, wise people here means those people who are practicing. Why? Because فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحْيِي الْقُلُوبَ بِنُورِ الْحِكْمَةِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the nur of practice, which of amal which is in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive your heart as well. Good company will revive our heart, and evil company will kill off the nur in our heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon this, and as a result, become fully practicing and fill our hearts with nur. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Before we finish, inshallah, this Saturday after Maghrib, I don't know if the post has gone up yet, is our monthly program. So we have a program usually the last weekend or so of every month. So after Maghrib, this Saturday is the monthly program. Everyone is requested to participate in that as well. Other than that, everyone is requested. This program happens on a weekly basis. If you try to participate every week, or however frequently you can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to practice upon this. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. So,